Could you please stand, and we're going to say our Lord's Prayer together to start with. So please stand, and I've put it up in case people can't remember it or don't even know it, and I've taken that from the King James Version. So that was one I learnt when I was young. So let's say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And as you've no doubt guessed, and Stephen's already said it anyhow, that the message today is on prayer. And so I was thinking about this. I thought of the Apostle Paul's words, who wrote in Colossians 4, verse 2, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." In the original language, it says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer." The word translated "continue steadfastly" is one word in the original language. It can be translated as "persist in," "adhere firmly to," or "remain devoted to." It carries with it the idea of dedication. It is a very powerful word, and its use in this verse is given as an imperative or a command. In other words, persistence in prayer is not an option for the Christian. It is an order from the Lord himself. Now, I'm sure that we would all agree that prayer is most important in the life of the Christian. However, we often struggle to make it a priority. We say we have a hard time finding time to pray. Busy work schedules, family commitments in the home, the distractions of technology, and the general demands of daily life can make it difficult for us to set aside time for prayer. We want to pray, we say, but we don't have time. But if there is ever a need for prayer, it is now. In our nation, in our church, in our homes, and in our lives. So to begin with, I would like to ask you to do a quick self-assessment of your prayer life. If you had to rate your prayer life on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being weak, 10 being strong, what number would you choose? Now, my aim with this little survey is simply to lead you to consider how important prayer is in your life. You see, God wants prayer to be a top priority in every Christian's life. He wants us to experience prayer as a delight, not a duty. Well, hopefully you've been able to come up with your own number on the prayer scale, and I trust that the result has challenged you to consider how prayer should play a more important role in your life. You see, I believe if we're really honest with ourselves, I think we could all do better in our prayer life, both personally and corporately. And yet, for the Christian, it remains one of the greatest gifts our Lord has given us outside of salvation. You see, the truth is, if you are a Christian, then your life in Christ began with a prayer. When you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your life, you began something special. But prayer is not something that is intended just to get you into the kingdom. It is intended to keep you connected to the kingdom. Now, it's a huge topic, this, and as I started to think about it, there's so much that can be said about prayer that one doesn't know where to start. However, what I desire most of all this morning is not that you feel guilty about your lack of prayer life. I want you to feel hungry for a greater prayer life. I don't want to beat you up. I want to spur you on. I want you to pray because the joy and peace that comes from spending time with our Heavenly Father is something absolutely phenomenal. So I want to look at 3 points concerning prayer that may increase your resolve to pray. First, engage the practice. Engage the practice. The reason we need to engage the practice of prayer is because Jesus told us to in Luke 18, verse 1. And Jesus began his teaching on prayer by using this phrase in Matthew 6, verse 5, when you pray. He did not say, if you pray, but when you pray. As you read through the Gospels and reflect on the prayer life of Jesus, you can't help but notice how often he engaged in prayer. According to Matthew 1:35, Jesus got up early in the morning and started his day with prayer. There was no amount of busyness, nothing so urgent that could keep Jesus from regular times of focused, meaningful prayer. He prioritized prayer, and his practice and passion for prayer is something he wants us to have as well. And it is a practice that should be made from the start of each day, in my opinion, and throughout every day for the rest of our lives. Prayer was obviously a high priority and practice for the early church. In Acts 2, verse 42, we read, the believers joined together for teaching and fellowship, sharing the Lord's Supper and in prayer. The Apostle Paul, who wrote letters to a number of churches, clearly revealed just how diligent he was in prayer. He prayed continually for others and always thanked God for them. Without question, we should follow the practice that Paul had when he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. We should practice the presence of Christ in our daily lives and bring things as the Lord shows us, concerns, praise, thanksgiving, and all sorts of petitions up to God. It should be as common as breathing to the Christian. In fact, one of the signs that God is at work in our lives is that we engage in the practice of prayer, according to Acts 9, verse 11. To engage in the practice of prayer is an act for the Christian of loving obedience. But do you know something? Prayer can be a discipline we engage in for the wrong reasons. Prayer can become an empty ritual or a mere formality. It is true that so very often, we associate prayer with crises in our life. Then when trouble passes, we move on to the next crisis. Jesus wants our prayer to be from our heart that expresses a deep and genuine desire for intimacy with our Heavenly Father. That's what he wants. And that brings me to mention just two, for the sake of time, just two of the many blessings that flow to us when we engage the practice of prayer. Number one, the privilege. To engage the practice of prayer is a great privilege. Can you think of any greater honour than to have a conversation with the one who rules over all creation? We have been invited to talk with the one who put the stars in the place. We are invited to seek counsel from the one who is truth and wisdom. Isn't that an amazing privilege? You know, as I thought of this, I've thought of my own situation for many years. Too often I focused on my requests rather than on God. And I think that's true for us today, that often we focus on our requests rather than on God. Sometimes in our deep concern over the issues we bring to the Lord, we lose sight of him. Our thoughts are focused on the needs and not on the one who can meet them. We must remember that we are talking to Almighty God and should therefore center our thoughts on his character, power, and promises, expressing our confidence, gratitude, and praise to him. Prayer is also a tremendous privilege purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ died for this end. It cost him the shedding of his blood so that we, through him, can have entrance to the throne room of grace, Hebrews 4:16, and it tells us that we can come boldly into his presence. Surely that truth alone should inspire us to engage the practice of prayer and make it a greater priority in our life. And you know something? Our Lord blesses us when we pray. Let us never neglect times of prayer, for they are not a burden, but a great privilege. And you know, I'm humbled to think we can talk to our Heavenly Father at any time of the day or night. I'm grateful that he is never too busy to hear our prayers and act on our behalf. Prayer is a privilege, and prayer is protection. Prayer is protection. To engage the practice of prayer is protection. Prayer is such an important weapon in spiritual warfare. We are in a battle, and if you're not, there's something wrong with you if you call yourself a Christian. We are in a battle. And we need the help of God. Constantly we are warned of the devil's intention to neutralize and demoralize us. We are told that our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And that's Ephesians 6:10 that you know so well. Without prayer, we are defenseless. Through prayer, we remain connected with God, who equips us for battle and enables us to resist temptation. Remember that Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, found it necessary to pray. If he did not feel that he could face the battle in his own strength, neither should we. So to engage the practice of prayer is so important for both the believer and for the church. And yet, sadly, spending time in prayer with God does not seem to appeal to either in today's fast-paced society. Take, for example, church prayer meetings. I believe the problem here is due to a tendency among believers to think of prayer meetings as an extracurricular activity in the life of the church. It's good to have, but not important enough to attend. Someone once said, "The church is dying on its feet because it's not living on its knees." How true is that statement? The church is dying on its feet because it's not living on its knees. So let's get our priorities straight, brothers and sisters. If Jesus himself spent time in prayer when he was here on earth, how much more do we need to open our hearts to commune with the Lord? If such times of communion have been missing from your life and from your life in terms of involvement with this church, you can put that right today. Engage the practice of prayer. Second, experience the promise. Engage the practice, experience the promise. God promises to answer our prayers. In Matthew 7, verse 7, we read, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, "Call upon me, and I will answer." In Matthew 21:22, we read these words, "And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive." Psalm 17:6 says, "I call on you, O God, for you will answer me." Take note of this here. You will answer me. God does not say, "I might answer," or "I may answer," or "I could answer." God says, "I will answer you." You see, these passages from God's word tells us there can be no question that God wants us to pray and that he promises to answer our prayers. You may ask, Does God always answer my prayer? The answer to that question is the only prayer that God never answers, listen, that God never answers is the prayer never prayed. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. God always gives the right answers, but they are varied answers. However, does this mean that God will answer our every prayer and that he is at our beckon and call to answer our request? I think a lot of people have that idea and never consider that God has placed very specific restrictions or limits on how he answers us. You see, lots of people wonder why their prayers aren't answered, and they think God does not hear them. Some even give up and stop praying because it was a worthless exercise. However, the problem with unanswered prayer does not lie with God, but with us. You see, there are conditions that God attaches to answered prayer. First, we cannot come to God without belief or faith in him. Hebrews 11:6, we read, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that there is a God and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Second, we must ask only in accordance to his will. 1 John 5:14 says, and we can be confident that he will listen to us whenever we ask him for anything in line with his will. God delights in answering prayers that align with his will. And the most reliable way to know God's will is by reading his word. As we seek God through Bible reading and prayer, we get to know his heart and gain wisdom and spiritual insight. Third, we must be walking in truth and love, and there must be no unconfessed sin in our life. A Christian who fulfills these conditions will be heard by God, who promises to answer their prayer. F.B. Meyer, the author of that great little book, The Secret of Guidance, said, the great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Engage the practice, experience the promise, and third, expect the power. Expect the power. As I've already mentioned, prayer places us in contact with Almighty God. And we should expect almighty results, for the God to whom we pray is the source of the power of prayer. The early church began in a prayer meeting, according to Acts 1:14. And they prayed for boldness to share the gospel in the midst of adversity. And the result was that they saw great power and blessing being poured out by the Lord. Do we really pray with that kind of expectation? Do we still believe that God can do miracles? Is church on Vogel off limits to the power of God? No. We should realize that the same God who created the world and put the sun, moon, and stars in place hears us when we pray. There is nothing that prayer cannot do, for prayer involves God, and there is nothing that God cannot do. And that's Luke 1:37. Lord Alfred Tennyson said, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." Brothers and sisters, we cannot separate prayer from power. Lack of power results in lack of prayer. Our duty is to be found faithful to God and to His call on our lives. As we yield to Him in faith and by prayer make our petitions to Him, we can count on Him to do what is best, what is right, and what brings Him the most glory. So, church, we need to be able to get hold of the Lord. We need that not only as individuals, but we need it as a church. And as a church, the only way that will ever happen is for us to come together like the early church and to pray and make seeking God our priority. You see, without prayer, we will never be what God wants us to be. Without prayer, Church on Vogel will never reach the heights that God intends us to reach. Without prayer, we will not see people in our community come to salvation. Without prayer, God's will on earth will never be established because we've lacked to pray. Since James tells us in chapter 5:16 that the prayer of the righteous is powerfully effective. Pray. Please pray. Expect to see His power in answer to your prayers. Together we can make a difference in praying and expecting God to answer. May Church on Vogel follow the example of the early church and be a praying church. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Thank you for the assurance that guides our prayers and strengthens our life. And Lord, I pray that each of us will dedicate afresh our whole being to you this day. That you'll instill within us a great desire to pray. To pray. And to pray. And for the remainder of our earthly lives here, may that be so too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.